Be here with you this morning. Appreciate the good singing this morning, the prayer that's been offered up. We certainly beg an interest in your prayers this morning. Appreciate all of you who have come in support of Brother Robbie this morning. This is a special day for him, a special day for all of us. As any time someone joins the church, it is it's a wedding ceremony. Just like when you get married, you're making a promise for the rest of your life. Someone who joins the church is making that same promise to the Lord and to the church that they'll be faithful all the days of their life. So this is a lifetime commitment. It's a special occasion, a blessed occasion. We certainly thank God for it. We thank God for this opportunity we have to worship the Lord together, and we ask that you pray for us what time we stand before you. Have your Bibles, like to turn with me to Hebrews chapter 3. I'd like to read a couple of verses to you here in Hebrews chapter 3, starting in verse 12. It says, "Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God." This is a warning. It's a warning that if we looked at the whole context here in the third chapter, he gives an example of the folks in Israel as a bad example of not believing in God. Not believing that God was able to do what he promised he would do. You know, my study of the Bible and my experience in life, I've found God doesn't give a whole lot of explanations. If you could ask him why are things the way they are, and you may not get an answer to that. You may. But what God does give us is promises. Promises that we can stand on, we can cling to. And that's why faith is so important to the child of God, and walking and living by faith is because that faith is built upon the promises of God. And so, if you believe that God can perform what he has promised he will do, then you will live that blessed life. But this warning is, lest there be in any of us an evil heart of unbelief, not believing God, not believing that God will do what he has said he would do. When we do that, we depart from the living God. Verse 13, "But exhort one another daily, while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin." The command for us, and I feel it's important when you read and study the Bible, to look for what it's telling you to do. It's for us to exhort one another, encourage one another. And how often? It says daily. Exhort one another daily. This is a daily thing that we are to do. Exhort one another, encourage one another to live a godly life. And you don't realize what an encouragement you are to someone else. That you might be the one that is strengthening someone else to do what's right. I mean, after all, the church is compared to a body. And if I think about my hands are only able to do what my arms allow them to do. If it weren't for my arm, I would not get my hand in certain places that I might need my hand to get. And I think about a church is like that as well, that we encourage one another, we help one another, we strengthen one another. And this is supposed to be regular. This is supposed to be daily. He says, while it is called today, you know, there's only, our children at school, they have this saying that they recite. I can't remember all of it, but I remember how it ends. This day shall not come again. This day will not come again. We only have this day. It will not come again. Tomorrow is gone. Tomorrow is a used check, as they say. I remember when I was in economics in school, they straightened me out on something. I used to go to an all-you-can-eat buffet and felt like I needed to get my money's worth. I felt like I needed to go back. I paid, this money, and there's more food out there. I need to get my money. I'd eat until I was just about sick to make sure I got my money's worth. Well, in economics, they said that's a sunk cost. You've already spent that money. You're not getting it back. It's already gone. You don't have to get another plate. They set me free when they told me that, although I might still do that a little bit because I enjoy eating. But it's a sunk cost. You can't get it back. Tomorrow's gone, or yesterday's gone. You can't get it back. You can't change it. It's a used check, as they will. And the future, tomorrow, we don't know what another day may bring. But what we have is today. How can we make today be what it ought to be? The best day that it can be. You know, a long time ago, I started waking up with this verse of Scripture. Psalm 118. This is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. I'm going to tell you, waking up with that frame of mind has helped me each day that I live. You know, sometimes you wake up, as they say, on the wrong side of the bed. Well, I'll tell you what, no matter what side of the bed you wake up on, bring that verse to your memory because this day will not come again. Why would we ruin it by being in a bad mood or having a foul attitude during the day? Why would we ruin the day? This day will not come again. While it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. Sin is deceitful. And I'm here to tell you this morning, there are some things in this world that are trying to trick you. They lie to you. The devil's out there and he's the father of lies. That's what Jesus called him. The father of lies. He has a way of trying to get people away from the truth. All this world is full of vain philosophy that tries to lure you away from what the Bible teaches and what God commands. I'll tell you, this world is full of deceitfulness. The Bible tells us that we can deceive ourselves. Sin is deceitful. It offers pleasure to you, but it's only for a season. And it can bring with it a life full of regret. Oh, I tell you, it's a sad thing for a young person to do something that is wrong and have to carry that burden the rest of their life. I remember when I was in high school, my older brother, he was always an example to me. And I will say that growing up, my mom can tell you this, he was a much better child in the house than I was. He was well behaved. He minded. He did everything they told him to do. He didn't give him any back talk. But I did all of that. Well, there came a point in my life I realized I was bringing a lot of unnecessary problems upon myself. I'm sick of all this trouble. I'm sick of all this stuff I have to deal with. I'm going to decide to learn from other people's mistakes and not make them myself. If they made a mistake, I'm going to learn from that so I don't do it myself. Well, my brother helped me out a little bit too. At some point in his life, he started clashing with my dad and they started locking up, locking horns. And I said, "Whoa, I don't want to do that. I won't be the good son from here on out." But anyway, we only have this day. And I want to look at this morning some things that come daily. We just sang that song. God knows all our sins and errors, yet for me, He daily cares. Can you imagine that? In fact, turn me to Lamentations chapter 3. This is right after the book of Jeremiah. And Lamentations chapter 3, there is something said here in the third chapter of Lamentations. It says of course, lamentation means crying. Jeremiah was known as the weeping prophet, and he was weeping all the way up into this point in verse 21 of Lamentations 3. And he says, "This I recall to my mind, therefore have I hope." He remembered something and it gave him hope in his great sorrow. Verse 22, "It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because His compassions fail not." Verse 23, "They are new every morning. Great is Thy faithfulness." Jeremiah remembered something, that the reason we're not consumed is because of God's mercies. He knows all my sins and errors. Just think about that thought for a moment. We're still rejoicing today in the good meeting we had at Providence this weekend. And Brother Luke Addison was preaching yesterday afternoon, and he was preaching about prayer, and he preached about where you can go to Matthew 18 and read this, where Peter asked, how many times do I have to forgive my brother? Seven times? You know, we might think Peter is being a little generous. I remember one time this certain somebody, I'm not going to say any names, but he did something that upset me. And then, you know, he did something again. Very similar to what he did before. And the third time he did it, I brought out my baseball playing days and said, three strikes, you're out. I've had enough of this. I'm not going to put up with this anymore. Well, Peter said seven times. That's more than three strikes, you understand? But you know what Jesus said? I say not only seven times, but 70 times seven. Now, if you would do the math on that, that 70 times 7 is 490. And Brother Luke's point yesterday was he thinks that's about how many times we offend God in one day. 409 times, 500 times, whatever, somewhere in that neighborhood. You may think, well, that number's a little high, Brother James. I'm not sure I offend God that much. Well, it's time to get out your Bible and study what the Bible says are sin. All your silly thoughts, your idle moments, and it's not just what you do. It's what you don't do that is also a sin. You might should have done something and you didn't do it. That's a sin. Oh, I tell you, it's amazing to me that God knows all of our sins and errors, yet He daily cares for us. I was having a conversation with someone not long ago, and we were talking about how hard it is, the better you know someone, to still be kind to them when they have so much abrasiveness or hard exterior. It's hard to get past that. But the good news is, that's not really them. The Bible tells us that's the sin that dwells within him. The real them is the child of God you'll see in heaven one day. And that's the part we need to look for. In 1 Samuel chapter 16, God tells Samuel that God doesn't look on man after the outward appearance like man does. He looks on the heart. He looks on their heart. That's where we should look in the child of God. Look on their heart. But I'll tell you, God's mercies are new. Notice verse 23. They are new every morning. Every morning, there's a brand new batch of God's mercies. Just like the dew that falls down. The dew that comes down to us each day as a testimony of God's fresh mercies that come to us new every morning. Great is His faithfulness. Turn me to Psalm 68. And I want to notice with you what He says here in the 68th Psalm. This has a lot of good things to say. But we're going to just skip down to the one verse we want to look at. Psalm 68, verse 19. He says, blessed be the Lord who daily loadeth us with benefits, even the God of our salvation. Now notice he says, blessed be the Lord. What does he do? He daily, every day, his mercies are new every morning. But it's not just, you know, mercy. What that is not giving you what you deserve. That's what mercy is. Mercy is withholding what you might justly do. Now, I'll say that's a great blessing not to get what we deserve. And we can all say this morning, I believe, that we are doing better than we deserve. We deserve, you know, people sometimes say, well, I want to get what I deserve or what's coming to me. No, you don't. No, you don't. If you start to survey all the blessings that you have in this life, the only conclusion you can come to is you didn't get them because you earned them. You got them because of God's grace. Now, grace, just like mercy, is not giving you what you deserve, but it's also giving you what you don't deserve. That's what grace is. God's grace is amazing grace. Amazing grace that a wretch like us would receive these wonderful gifts and blessings in our life. Oh, I tell you, you start counting your blessings, you run out of time because you just have so many things. Look, he says, he daily loadeth us with benefits. Now, I want you to think about somebody carrying a load. Carrying a load. Oh, you know, I'll just go ahead and say, yeah, your truck will ride better if it's got a load. Trucks are designed to carry a load, and they'll ride better, ride smoother if they're carrying a load. You will go through life better if your wagon is loaded. Now, we don't want to be overloaded, you understand, but you need to have something to do. You know, Sodom is a city that we talk about that was destroyed with fire and brimstone. But one of the problems in Sodom, you can go to Ezekiel 16 and read about it, is there was an abundance of idleness there. They didn't have anything to do. So what do? They got into mischief. Abundance of idleness is not a good thing. Idleness is not good. You need your wagon loaded. You need something to do. I've always heard that one of the ways that you can be happy in life is to have something to do, something to look forward to. I'll tell you, we are blessed this morning to know we've got something to look forward to because of victory in Jesus that we sang about this morning. But I'm here to tell you this morning that God daily, every day, loads you. Not with a burden that's grievous to carry, but you're loaded with benefits. Just imagine being loaded down with things that you can use that are good for you. That's what God loads us down with. You know, I think about Brother Clem, and when we used to go over to his house for lunch after church, he would always either have something that he had waiting for me to give me when I left, but when we were leaving, he'd start looking around for more stuff to give me. he didn't want us leaving empty-handed, you understand. Well, I'll tell you, that's the way the Lord is. The Lord daily loads us with benefits, things that are good for us, that'll help us. God does that every day. The God of our salvation. In 2 Corinthians 4, we read about something else that happens every day. Every day. You know, I think about each day that we live, how the sun rises without fail. Always does. There's never a day that goes by the sun does not rise. God's faithfulness is so great. But in 2 Corinthians 4, he tells us this. He's talking about a lot of suffering that they've been going through. And I'm just going to skip right down to verse 16. He says, "For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day." Now, he describes two men. You and I, there is something spiritual about us, something spiritual inside of us that he calls the inward man. It's the man that God places within us when we're born again. We can go to many scriptures that testify of that. And one of the ones I like to go to is Galatians chapter 4, verse 6, where it says, "Because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father." That tells me that God dwells in your heart. And if you ever wondered how it is that you could minister to the Lord and do something for God, I'll tell you, you minister to God's people and Jesus takes it as if you've done it to Him Himself. That's what He says in Matthew 25. "Inasmuch as you have done it unto one of the least of these, my brethren, you've done it unto me." Jesus takes it personally how we treat one another. Why? Because that inward man that is inside of us is His own Spirit that dwells in our hearts. He says our outward man perishes. Our outward man. You know, this old body that we carry around, it's perishing. It's only getting worse. I hate to say it like that. You could go to Ecclesiastes 12 and read a very good description of what that's like and applying it to things in this world. But you know, our outward man, our body is perishing. It's getting older. I go back and look at some of the things I did when I was 20. And I think, man, I am a far cry from ever being able to do that now. I don't know how I did it. I don't think I'm that old. I just turned 41. But I mean, there's a lot of stuff that I just can't do anymore. I could go every day and do certain things, but if I do it every day now, I'll hurt myself. I'll get injured. I got to take a day off. I got to get a little rest. My outward man can't handle that anymore. But I'm going to tell you this morning, your inward man is just as strong today as it was years ago. And even if you get into your 80s or 90s, your inward man is just as strong as it was decades ago because it's renewed day by day. God does this every day. Every day, God does these things. Now, that's a lot, and we could talk about more about what God does each and every day. But I want us to consider there are some things that you and I need to do every day. Daily, while it is called today, how can we make the most of this day that the Lord has given to us. Well, if you'll turn me to Matthew chapter 16, I want to point out that Jesus tells us how to follow Him. What is the recipe? What is required if we want to follow Jesus? We make that decision. I've decided I'm going to follow the Lord. I'm going to do what He's told me to do. Well, Jesus says this in verse 24 of Matthew 16. He says, if any man will come after me, let him, first step, deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Three things. First, deny yourself. Deny yourself. You know, I think about one of the, I had an older minister who recently asked me, what are the top five or top 10 things a young minister needs these days? I said, well, I may not give you the best of lists, but I can tell you automatically what the top five are to me. I said, humility, 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 and humility. The thing that this world is lacking right now is humility. Oh, everyone's so filled up with pride and full of themselves and consumed with themselves. But Jesus says, deny yourself. If you're going to follow me, get over yourself. In fact, humility is not talking bad about yourself, putting yourself down. That's not humility. That's calling attention to yourself. Real humility is just ignoring yourself. Not even thinking about yourself. Not thinking about your needs or your wants, but always more concerned about other people. That's real humility. Denying yourself, I'm going to tell you this morning, I believe is a daily task. Our self comes back into the picture. It just floats back in there. And we're born into this world with that concern for ourselves. I mean, little babies just cry. Why? Because they want something, need something. They're going to let you know they're in need of something. And I'll tell you, in a marriage, it's so important for a husband and a wife to get over themselves and be more concerned about the other. If that is true, and you have a husband and a wife, and the husband is concerned about his wife, the wife is concerned about her husband, you start a wheel turning that just keeps spinning. But when one of them gets selfish, all that tire gets out of balance and the wheels fall off the cart, as they say. But I'll tell you, here in the house of God, we need humble children of God, denying themselves, getting over themselves. And then he says, take up his cross. Take up his cross. You know, you and I all have a cross to bear. But what's important is we take up our cross. What does that mean, take up our cross? Well, I want you to picture a cross that is placed in the ground, fixed in the ground, and that cross is a death sentence. You know, if you're going to follow the Lord, you just put a death sentence upon yourself. You say, well, what do you mean by that? Well, in Galatians 6:14, Apostle Paul says, God forbid that I should glory. That means boast. God forbid that I boast or glory, except in the cross of Jesus Christ. You know what our boast is this morning? Our boast is in what Jesus did on the cross at Calvary. That's what we boast in this morning. That's something that we should boast in every day. We should rejoice in every day. Every day we should get back to the cross of Jesus Christ and all that Jesus did for us. Because if it were not for the cross at Calvary, you and I would all be burning forever in hell. That doesn't sound like a good place for me to go. I have no desire to go to that place. But you know, because of what Jesus did on the cross at Calvary, you don't go to that place. You're going to heaven's pure world for all eternity. Isn't that good news this morning? That's the definition of the gospel. Good tidings, good news. And the good news is Jesus finished the work. He paid the price. And you're going to live in heaven with Him for all eternity. I tell you, that's good news. That's something worth boasting in this morning as the bride of Jesus Christ. We boast or glory in the cross of Jesus Christ. But that's not the end of Galatians 6:14. He says, by whom the world is crucified to me. He just put another cross in the picture. He basically said, the world is on a cross to me. Now, I want to point out that a crucifixion is a different kind of death than a lethal injection or being shot or stoned. There's a lot of ways you can put someone to death. But a crucifixion is so cruel because it's a slow death. A slow death. And I've noticed in my lifetime, that world has just been slowly dying away to me. I remember when I was younger, I had all these career aspirations. I wanted to be an actor in Hollywood. Oh, I'm glad that didn't work out. And then I wanted to become a professional baseball player. I've watched those baseball players. I'm glad that didn't work out too. Man, you're always on the road. You're playing ball all the time. You're never at home. Anyway, I'm not going to get into that. But there's a lot of things I wanted to do. I wanted to be an Air Force pilot. I wanted to fly planes in the Air Force. I met all the qualifications. I had the pilot slot sitting there in front of me. I could have taken it. But if I'd have done that, I talked to my buddy who's a pilot. He flew F-15s and F-22s. I said, what's it like? What did I miss out on? He said, I do three things. He says, I fly, I lift weights, because you got to be in good shape, and I drink. That's it. I said, boy, I dodged a bullet on that one too. I say a lot of this world is just losing its luster to me. Slowly but surely it's dying away. But that's still not the end of Galatians 6:14. The world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. To the world, the child of God that's following Jesus is slowly and slowly going to lose their appeal or their desire towards you to the point that they just don't have anything to do with you. You're crucified to the world. You have a death sentence. But what Jesus says to do is to take up your cross. Why? Because you're to follow Him. Following Jesus, you must take up your cross. Pull it up out of the ground. Get it away from the ground and follow Him carrying your cross. Now, I take you to this verse because of what he says in Luke chapter 9 in the very same language, but he adds one word here in Luke chapter 9. Notice what he says here. If any man, this is verse 23, Luke 9:23. If any man will come after me, let him deny himself, just like he said in Matthew 16, and take up his cross daily and follow me. This is an everyday thing. Take up your cross daily. Every day you get up, pick it up, follow the Lord. Now, if we ever get stagnant, if we ever just stop and leave our cross there and we stop following the Lord, then we've missed out on an opportunity that day. That day to follow the Lord, to do His bidding, to do what He'd have us to do. You know, it's a sad thing to have that mental picture that we are to take up our cross and follow Him, that we got to carry a cross through this whole world. But I'm telling you, the sufferings of this life are nothing compared to what is waiting on the other side of glory. The sufferings of this life are just a light affliction that is so far different than the eternal weight of glory waiting for the child of God. This is something that we must do daily if we're going to follow Jesus. I believe that there's something else. There are several other things that we should do daily. I believe the Bible teaches that we should pray without ceasing. That means every day. That means all the time, every day. Prayer, as Brother Luke mentioned yesterday afternoon at Providence, it's not where we go to the Lord and just give Him our Christmas list of all the things that we want. Prayer is intended for us to be communing with the Lord, communicating with the Lord. That's something that we should do every day. There should be prayers that we pray to the Lord. I believe that we should also read and study our Bibles every day. You know, the Bible tells us that we should pray to the Lord, give us this day our daily bread. Daily bread. And each day that you live and you've had enough food to eat, the Lord once again has provided daily bread. But I believe that we need spiritual bread as well. We need to be fed spiritually. And the only way to get that is going to God's Word, where He has promised He would feed our hungry soul here in the words on these pages. This is such an amazing book that the Lord has left on record for us. This is a place where we can come and read and study and learn just how much God loves us. Every day, I encourage all of you to get better acquainted with the love of God. the love of God. And we sang this morning, Father, we rest in thy love. God's love. You can rest this morning. And you can rest each day of your life because Jesus finished the work that the Lord sent him to do. Then he's resting on the right hand of God. And you can rest this morning because the work's over with. And all we do now is rest in his love. In his love. What is someone to do each and every day of their life who is resting in their love? Learn more about him. Grow in grace. Grow in the knowledge of Jesus Christ. Learn more about him. I remember Brother Luke Addison, who performed Jenny and I's wedding. I'm bringing him up a lot this morning. I sure did not intend to do that. But he said, he told us, this is something that just sticks with me on that moment. He said, I know you both think you couldn't love each other any more than you love each other now. He says, but I'm going to tell you, that love only grows with time. And he was right. And it grew because we learned more about each other. We began to know more about each other. Now, I can tell you what she's going to tell you before she even says it. I know what she's going to say, what she thinks. She can do the same with me. We know each other. And I want us to love the Lord that way. That we know what he thinks, know what he says, know what he's going to do before he even does it. Because God's word is full of the promises of God. That tells me the Lord is sure that what he says he'll bring to pass. I'm scared to make a promise to you because I might let you down. But the Lord is not scared to do that. He makes all these promises that the Bible contains because he is going to bring it to pass. The child of God daily must learn to trust him. Follow him. Trust him. Believe what he says he'll do. And he'll do it. I tell you, each day that we live, may the Lord help us to be found doing and saying what he'd have us to do as we reflect on all that he's done for us. I thank you for your good attention this morning.